people of Earth, if you can hear my voice, you have arrived at another episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope. I'm your host, Brent Pope. My guest today is Brittany Young. You've seen Brittany stealing scenes as Carmen, who wrestled as the character Machu Picchu on the fantastic Netflix show Glow. She also recurred on another of my favorite shows. Y'all know this, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And that's not all. We had Breakfast, a pancake palooza, if you will, at Jumpin' Java. So let's go. We have Brittany Young today on Breakfast.
Pick it up.
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope. Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
That could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't need any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
What? Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too. I'm always playing blue-collar guys.
Breakfast. Somebody screwed through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a cruller. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's Breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
Brittany Young, welcome to the Tiny Studio LA in NoHo.
Woohoo, thank you. Audience, you can't see this, but I'm watching an amazing light display being put on here by Marco in the booth. It's amazing.
One day I'm going to put a thing of this on Instagram just as a story.
Yeah.
And people will know what we're talking about.
Yeah, or, you know, keep guessing. It's fine, too.
That's true. Look, let's start with Glow, because I think that's what a lot of people know you from.
Yes.
And it's a fabulous show.
Yes, thank you. Was that cocky? Yes, it was a fabulous show.
It was cocky, but I'm into it.
Cool, yeah. Cool.
You play Carmen Wade, who's the character is the daughter of a famous wrestling dynasty.
Yes.
Right? Let me ask you this. How was the audition process for this show? Do you have any wrestling experience, and do you now?
Well, the audition process was very interesting. It's ask any Glow girl, it will be different for each of them. I actually was quite early in the audition process, so mine's like a little bit longer. Interestingly enough, saw on Deadline that Netflix was doing this show with Jenji Cohen about Glow and saw a picture of it. And I was like, you know what? I do this thing where I like, if I see something pop up that catches my interest that's being developed, I usually send it to my manager and agent and be like, keep an eye out. Maybe there's something here for me. And I was going to do that with Glow, but kind of just got sidetracked by this thing called life.
Yeah.
And forgot to email them. But a couple days later, got an audition for it and went in and read for our amazing casting director, Jen Houston. The longest audition of my life, it was like 45 minutes, thought I bombed it. Like, I know actors say that a lot, but like, I literally walked out, called my agent, was like, you guys, I'm so sorry. Like, the ship has sailed. Did not think I did a good job. Had fun, but just didn't think I did well. And was very surprised that night to find out that I had a callback the next day with our showrunners, Liz Flaheim and Carly Mensch and Jenji Cohen and Tara Herman, our executive producers. And went in the next day, did the same thing, but somehow felt that I got it. Don't know what the difference was mentally, but thought I got it. Didn't hear anything for about a month. Finally found out that, like, I was one of the last two people that they were interested in. They wanted me to go do a stunt audition with our stunt coordinator, Shauna Duggins, and our wrestling coordinator, Chavo Guerrero Jr. And I met them and loved them to death, but they were very honest. They're like, you're not on insurance. We can't have you do too many things. So, like, throw some punches, do a couple forward rolls, like, jump off of this ledge, like, just kind of sussing me out. And I told myself, I was like, do not leave this audition without picking up one of these people. Like, just don't do it, Brittany. And when they were saying goodbye, I was like, okay, Shauna, like, I'm a former cheerleader. Just run at me. I'll catch you. She's like, I can't. Like, you're not on insurance. I was like, again, former cheerleader. I will catch you. It's fine. So she runs at me and I catch her. And she's like, oh, like, I feel great. Like, I feel really secure. And I'm like, cool. And Chavo, I've told this story so many times and I say it the same way because he knows I say it. He was being a dick and was like, can you catch me? Like, being really cocky. And I was like, yeah, let's see. He ran at me and I caught him. And he was like, oh, yeah, I feel completely comfortable with you. And I was like, yeah, great, nailed it. And that was on a Friday. Found out the following Monday, I booked the role and needed to start wrestling training the following Monday after that.
Look, it's interesting how they went from, like, you're not on insurance
to,
like,
don't do anything.
Hey, catch this building now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you'll be fine.
I'm going to throw a car at you.
Yeah.
You better catch it.
Yeah. I mean, how embarrassing would it be if, like, I didn't catch them? I wouldn't be here,
I
don't think.
Yeah, I think they would. Well, you still might have booked it, though, because you, like, made the effort. As long as no one was injured.
Ooh, I don't know.
Ooh, Mary.
Glad it didn't go that way. But yeah, no, I mean, I before that did not have any wrestling experience at all. Like I said, I was a cheerleader, so
yeah.
Used to catching and throwing and having people land on me, but not anywhere near the level of what we did on Glow.
That's super interesting, though, because the things you do in cheerleading are kind of things that you do in wrestling, though, too. Oh, yeah. So, like, in a way, you were a little bit more trained than probably than the other person.
Yeah, it was transferable. The skills were there.
Wow, that's interesting. And then, you know, your arc throughout the show is, like, did you know you were going to have kind of an arc of starting out as a little bit more shy and reserved and then kind of being a little more confident throughout the show? Or
yeah. You know, with every season, we kind of meet with Liz and Carly, our showrunners, and they kind of just give us like a light sketch of like what is going to happen for the season with the group and what's going to happen individually with our characters. And, you know, we always talked about where it was like, yeah, like Carmen is going to use Glow as a way to kind of prove herself to her family, prove herself to herself, because that made sense as a sentence, you know, just really start to grow within this world and what these women were going to do for her like confidence and stuff like that. So it definitely was something where I knew she was going to come out and, you know, be more confident through it. It is interesting now going back and watching it where I'm just like, oh, she still had so much farther to go, which is like a bummer part that we just didn't really get to finish out that story. But, you know, she definitely from episode one to what is it? Episode 30 at the end of the third season where she leaves, spoiler alert, where she leaves the show is something in episode one Carmen would never have done. So, you know, to see her grow throughout the three seasons was really fun.
It was a shocker when you left, too.
Yeah.
So in a way, I don't know, some things that happen that are so unexpected like that are like, I think, great for the show.
Yeah.
Even though I'm missing that character.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's almost like when you're watching something like Breaking Bad, right? If no one ever dies on Breaking Bad, then what are the stakes?
Exactly.
Really?
You know what I mean?
So if nothing that happens in this wrestling world is going to make anyone leave.
Yes.
Then how important is the wrestling world?
Exactly. You know? So. Yeah. I mean, well, and for me, like as an actor, when I read that she actually quits, I kind of was just like, but I'm still on the show, right? Like as Brittany kind of panicked where I'm like, wait a minute, is this like the end of me working on Glow? And after I read the script, like I was reassured like, no. Like she's just no longer going to be on Glow. You're still on Glow.
Yeah.
But Carmen is not going to be with Glow. And we're going to see her journey with her brothers and her wrestling on the circuit and everything like that. So again, like I just posted, funny enough, a throwback picture of a lot of people don't realize when we got canceled because of Netflix, when they didn't have us come back and finish. Yeah. We had already finished 2 episodes of season 4.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize that like we had done our month and a half of training. You know, we started the first 2 episodes. The first episode, the hardest one wrestling match I ever did on the show, but also my hardest day as an actor, period.
That's a bummer. So would there ever be a time where they would release these episodes?
I don't think so, only because it's like, I hate to say it because I'm a fan, but it's kind of like, well, what's the point if we don't have the rest? But like, I have posted bits and pieces of it on my Instagram. I know like Allison Brie, who is also in the wrestling match with me as well. She's posted bits and pieces of it. But it's like, I just posted the other day, just like a throwback picture that Marty Elias, who was one of our wrestling coordinators with us, but he also played the referee in some of like the matches on the show. He posted a picture of us together in that match and like I reposted it and like a lot of people commented and were just like, oh my God, you were coming back? We thought Carmen was done. Oh my God, like what? She's, you know, like, and I'm like, oh yeah, you guys have no idea what was going to happen because those episodes never came out. The season never came out. So it's like, it baffles me still that I have this knowledge about Glow that fans don't really have because we just never got that season.
Wow, that's insane. Let me ask you this. Would you be allowed to talk about what that season would have been about in general?
I think so. I think so. I mean, basically what we were told, and I know, you know, when COVID came up, a lot of things had a shift and things were changing. I think the broad strokes of it were where we left off in season three, Debbie now has her new network and she's kind of revamping Glow. And it was really what now is Glow in this new atmosphere where she's running the show. We all had new wrestling personas, like, unfortunately, Machu Picchu was no more. I was going to have a new wrestling persona, everybody else. And again, like girls, we've posted pictures on our Instagram of what those wrestling personas were. So that's not like a secret or anything
cool.
like that.
What was the new persona?
Well, mine wasn't, but...
Oh, okay.
Well, no. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Nobody's told me not to say I was eventually going to be the lumberjack to fit in more with the family and like play homage to that.
That's a great name.
Yeah. I mean, and the outfit was legit.
I don't know if you were super hyped to play the lumberjack.
No, but it was supposed to be because, you know, her brothers, the Lumberjacksons, and now she was supposed to come in and be like, I am now one of the family, you know.
In real life, that's a great wrestling storyline.
I know, it's so sweet. Yeah. But so it's like the fourth season was kind of going to be what is Glow within this new network with Debbie running it.
Gotcha.
How do the girls feel? And then, of course, Carmen does she join them again or does she stay on the circuit? For her, you know, it was like that struggle of where does she belong in the wrestling world?
Yeah. I thought you telling me this was going to make me like super happy, but now I feel kind of sad that I don't get to see it.
I know, I feel sad too.
But also maybe I'm more inspired to write some fanfic. You know what I mean?
Well, the sad part about it is like because of COVID, we ended up getting like a bunch of the scripts. And like I was that person on set where like people would ask me, just because I used to be an assistant, I was really quick with reading the next script because we're prepping it. So I'd need to know what was happening. And it continued as an actor. Like once I get the script, I just start reading it. I didn't do that for season 4 because we weren't shooting. So I was like, oh, I'll wait to read everything until we come back.
Yeah.
And then we got canceled. And I was like, I can't read them. Like I can't see what could have been, you know, so.
I want to ask you this.
Yes.
So since you mentioned you used to be an assistant.
Yes.
How does that help you as an actor?
I think it helps a lot. I think most of the time, not to be rude to my fellow brothers, sisters, non-binary lovers, we don't know a lot of time why things are done on production, why things take so long, why things happen the way they do. And I think being an assistant, I got to see the other side of
it. Right.
I understand why things take so long. I understand why things are done the way they're done. I also just think that I have such a respect for the crew that unfortunately a lot of actors don't have because they don't know what it's like to be the first person on set at 4:30 a.m. and the last person to leave at 12 o'clock at night.
Right.
You know, they really don't know what that life is.
Well, and it's not that like a bunch of actors are disrespectful towards the crew.
No.
They just haven't lived in that to see what they have to go through.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's kind of like what's happening with the Oscars right now, where it's like a TV show and movie is not just the acting. It's not just the directing. It's not just the writing. There's so many people who are involved in one project that don't get the credit where the credit is deserved. You know, like I always say, the crew is here to make me look good. So I'm in turn going to make them look good. You know, like I'm going to do whatever's in my power to be like, look at this bomb lighting. Look at this bomb costume. Like, you know, look at the editing, the music, everything. Like, I just think that as an assistant, because I got to work so close with all those departments, now as an actor, I want to know who those people are on projects I do, you know? And I want to be like, oh yeah, like, you know, Dan mic'd me up the other day. He did it amazing. He put the pack right where I couldn't even feel it. Like, we just take those things for granted. Yep. And it's like, no, somebody else did something that made it easier for you to do your job. Mm-hmm. So why not recognize that and celebrate that?
I think that's great.
That was like a really long answer.
Well, it was an appropriate, it was, look, we don't talk about some of the crew members a lot.
No.
So if you, the fact that you had a long answer about it is great. They deserve it.
I love the crew.
Yeah.
I love it. And I love running into them in other projects. I'm just like, yes. Like, let's do another thing together.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And I always try to remember them because they always remember you.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? So you feel like a dick if you don't remember them.
Yeah. Or I love when someone's just like, oh, like you worked on Glow. Oh, I knew this person. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, yes, love them as well. You know? It's nice.
Or, oh yeah, I knew them.
Yeah. Ooh.
They were okay.
That person.
Wait, how close were you?
Oh, your her husband? Cool.
Oh, ex-husband. Let me tell you some story.
That's different.
Well, congrats on Glow. I mean, it's sad that it got cut short, but I stand by like what is out there is great.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, I think people watch it for a long time. And I don't know what it is. There's some similarities to Stranger Things in how the colors and the lighting kind of works.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure. Because I've watched all the episodes of Stranger Things.
Oh, well, but you know, like the lighting we have in here, like that right behind you, that neon pink sign. Like that's totally into Glow.
Yeah.
Same thing with Stranger Things. And that's very nostalgic. Even just seeing that color is instantly nostalgic for me. So I love. And I used to watch actual Glow when I was a kid, you know? The Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah.
And it was
Stallone.
It was a wild show, the real show. And that's the other thing, too, is like some people may watch this and not even realize that Glow was a real thing, man.
Yes. Yes. Glow is real. And there's so, like, I recommend to everyone to go on YouTube and go down a rabbit hole of just watching the matches and the skits and the raps that they did, because we could never even match the level of what they did because it was so brilliant and so goofy and strong and funny and weird. It's so crazy to me that, like, it was a Saturday morning cartoon block that, like, women's wrestling was in.
Yeah.
you know, like in the 80s. Like, it's just, and it went for like 4 years. And they were like on Donahue Wrestling. Okay, for everyone who doesn't know who Donahue was, it was like a talk show.
It was like Sally Jesse Raphael. Yeah. Oh, wait, that's
yeah,
the same.
Yeah, you don't
era.
Know what Sally Jesse Raphael is. It was like a Ricky Lake. If you don't know what a Ricky Lake was, we could go down all day. It was a daytime talk show.
Montel Williams?
Yeah.
Still? No.
Like,
no.
Wendy Williams, you know. But like, they were huge celebrities for a huge period of time, like toured the country, did a show in Vegas where people actually came to the tapings. Like, it's just amazing. And these women just really do not get credit for their contribution, not only to wrestling, but also to just the pop culture of the 80s.
And all the great characters that were created, and the storylines were just as good as the stuff that the guys were doing at that time. It's just like they didn't have the big TV contract.
Exactly.
80s was the best of times and the worst of times in some ways.
I mean, I enjoyed it for a solid year and a half, so.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Do some math in my head.
That's me saying how old I am, which I always think is so funny because bless everyone when they say like, oh my God, like you're so young. And I'm like, not really though. Like, cool. Thank you.
Look, I have to mention this because I'm so happy. We were in the middle of, we were trying to get this booking together for a while, right?
Yeah.
We were over months and months because you're busy. I was going to say I'm busy too. I'm not. I was here.
Understood.
You got engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, got engaged.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The ring is fabulous.
Thank you.
I like
good
it.
Job.
Yeah, good job, your fiance. And I know you were talking about, like, it's so weird to say in the name fiance.
Yes, it's still new.
Yeah, and you even hear it. It's such a weird thing. You'll hear it on all these different movies. Every time anyone gets engaged, you're like, fiance.
Yeah.
It's such a weird, it's just a thing.
Well, and I think it's so cliche because I say, like, oh, my fiance, I'm so used to saying that. And then I'll watch TV shows where, like, fiance, oh, my God, that's the first time I'm saying that. And I'm just like, oh, oops.
I love that for you.
Yeah, I love that.
Or, oh, God, it seems like all my friends would make the jokes of, like, my financier.
Yeah, or my fiance is really into that I'm supposed to be the fiancée.
Wait, is that a thing?
Yeah, so fiance is the male noun. Oh, my God.
So
yeah, and then fiancé.
So you're saying he's your fiancé.
He's my fiancé. I'm his fiancé.
So the guys are all saying it wrong. That's the thing.
But it's also like, who would have known that? I mean, I'm down with it, but then he just still says I'm his fiancé.
So wait, so does Jay-Z have to say my Beyoncé?
My Beyoncé.
Instead of Beyoncé? Oh, hey-o, here all week, try the veal.
He just says my queen.
Oh, okay.
That's my fanfic, Jay-Z.
And your fiancé is like from Ireland.
He's Irish, yeah.
Does he have like a great Irish accent?
He does, which I think is really funny because, you know, year one of our relationship, la-la.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that's how he talks.
Yeah, I guess.
You know,
I guess that's how, you know.
Yeah, it's just the way he talks. But my friends here, when they talk to him, I can see them sometimes being like, what? What are you saying?
Yeah.
You know, or like the one word that gets me all the time is, I don't even know if I can say it right in his accent. They say bar to the bar.
Okay.
And they'll be like, what? And he'll be like, bar.
Bar.
And they're like, oh, to the bar. But like, it's just like a weird thing where now I'm just like, bar? The bar?
To the bar.
Yeah, like it just...
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, yeah, he's saying we're going to the bar, you know, like, please, he's, you know.
So you spent some time in Ireland.
Yes.
Do you ever, okay, so let me ask you this. I really like the drink. Guinness is fine.
Ugh.
You're not into stouts.
I'm not into alcohol.
At all. Okay.
Well, okay, I'm not teetotal.
Okay.
I like a good cider or something fruity enough that I don't taste any of the alcohol.
I was just at a cider bar. First time I've been to, like, just a cider bar.
Yeah.
Now, it was in Arizona because I was visiting my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
It was called We the People. And it was like, it was interesting. They had tons of ciders.
Yeah.
The theme was like, though, the taps were made out of grenades. It was like a military theme in there.
Sounds like a Second Amendment kind of thing.
It might be. I don't know. But I will say this. I had a cider that was a strawberry rhubarb pie cider.
Yes.
And it was like, just, it tasted like, not the crust part, but the rest of it tasted like strawberry rhubarb.
Nailed it.
What's the best cider you've ever had? Like, what's your go-to that you, if you buy a cider, what would you get?
Well, they don't have it here, but in Ireland, they have a cider called Orchard Thieves.
Okay.
That is like, it's sweet. It's not dry. Like, I like the sweet cider. I think, yeah, I mean, here, I guess Angry Orchard is a good substitute.
Yeah, I've had that. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but, like, they're coming out with, like, all these crazy flavors, and I'm just like, just give me the apple.
That's true. You know, like, that's true.
As you just told me, you just had, like, strawberry rhubarb pie.
But it tasted a lot like, you know, like a Granny Smith apple, you know? Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I was trying to get around to what your favorite drink in Ireland was, and then you say ciders. Like, we got to it.
Yeah, we got to it.
And, Orchard Thieves, you know, that's a great name.
Orchard Thieves, yeah, and it's got, like, a little fox on the label.
That's good. It also slightly sounds like a 90s something playing at Lilith Fair, like
Orchard Thieves are on stage 4 and 10.
Yeah. You get to see Orchard Thieves. Oh my goodness.
I love Orchard Thieves.
They play the ukulele they play is amazing.
Oh, they have a ukulele. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they're Orchard Thieves. I mean, what other instrument are you gonna be playing in an orchard?
I mean, true. Yeah. True.
So you also had a little run on a show that I love called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yes.
How was that for you? Was there any singing involved for you?
So I did sing as part of like the chorus choir in the episodes that I did in the last season, in season four, when Rebecca and my character Nikki are in jail. And I'm kind of like in a Brady Bunch scene of like we're all singing together, looking side to side. I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It was such a great show, but it has a real big spot in my heart because I was Rachel Bloom and Aline Brosh McKenna, who created the show, and Rachel was the star of the show. I was their assistant before I got GLOW. It was literally my last assistant job.
Wow.
And so, you know, they're very kind to me in the first season where they were like, I told them when I came to take over the job from the previous assistant, I was like, I'm also acting. I have a recurring spot on another show. Like, I would like to be upfront that, like, I might have auditions. And if I book something, I'd love to go do it. Like, are you guys okay with that? They're very supportive from the get-go.
Right.
And in season one, they were like, you know what? Like, we want to put you in the show. So they did, and they put me in the episode where I think it's like called Back at Camp with Josh, or At Camp with Josh.
Yes.
Where Rebecca goes and volunteers at like a summer camp with Josh for like delinquent kids, and I'm one of the delinquent kids.
Yeah.
And then when I went to go do GLOW, like I was on GLOW for a while, and when their show was going into the last season, they're like, we want to bring you back. And so I came in season four with the same character and like now escalated to like adult delinquent and was like in jail. And it's just, everybody there is just so loving and supportive.
Yeah.
And it was such a great place. I don't want to say to end my assistant career, but like it was such a great last job in that world.
It was kind of a full circle thing, right?
Yeah.
Luke coming back to, you know, Tatooine one last time to, you know, sweep up his aunt and uncle because they got destroyed in the fire.
Yeah, you like, know, Ray came back. Oh, my God. Brent, what is happening to us? We don't know where.
It's the lights.
I can't even do a joke now because I just messed it up. It's going to talk about Ray burying the lightsaber. Fuller circle later. It's fine. Spoiler alert for the whole entire season.
You know, it's interesting. Okay, so you were on Better Things one episode.
Yes.
Do you watch that show on
a regular
basis?
Yes.
Okay, so there's her friend, played by Alyssa Reiner, has a daughter named Sorrow. You know, Sorrow is young Rey in the...
I didn't know that. I also think it's interesting because Jodie Comer plays her mom.
Oh,
and
really?
Like, yeah, in the flashback scene in Last Jedi, it's Jodie Comer, but it was kind of like, you know, this is Star Wars. Like, Jodie Comer is this, like, amazing Emmy-winning actress, Killing Eve, like, all these things. But, like, because she then got placed into something bigger, it was like, who knew? But, yeah, Jodie Comer plays Rey's mom in the flashback scenes.
Well, she plays young Rey.
Yeah.
She also plays Rick Grimes' daughter when she gets older on Walking Dead. Yeah, it's the same girl.
I don't watch that.
Yeah. But anyway, she's just like booking all these huge parts.
Yeah, and then
I was talking with her on Better Things. I was like, I was just kind of like, so what's your favorite part you ever played? Please say Star Wars. Yeah. And she's like, nothing like that at all. I was like, oh.
Yeah, cool.
That's cool. I'm going to go.
Crafty.
Oh, Crafty. Remember when that was a thing? Craft services and we could go get food?
Oh my God. Shout out to the GLOW Craft Service team because, chef's kiss.
So, you know, during this whole pandemic thing, guys.
What?
People that aren't actors, right?
Hmm?
Yeah, right. You know, there used to be a thing, craft services, where, like, when you're shooting a show, like, every time you're on a break, you're just like, I need a little snack. And just have, like, kind of all the snacks at craft services. And now it's not like that at all. They may have it, but, like, you have to, like, go talk to the guy and be like you're shopping when they used to on Wheel of Fortune, like, I'll get the vacuum cleaner. Yeah. How much do I have left?
This may be, like, one of the most privileged conversations. We used to have snacks for free that you could just grab. Now we have to ask someone.
Look, when your tum-tum is rumbling.
I have to make eye contact with somebody. But it is interesting because, like, I remember weirdly enough, craft services was like one of the things that people would use against actors, being like, right. their job is so easy. They just have food laid out on tables for them to just grab. And I'm like, I get where you would turn that into like right. a negative thing, but it's also like, we have that because you can only break by law, like every 6 hours to actually have a meal.
That's true.
And you can't just up and walk. You are free on set, but like to just up and walk and leave, you have to tell 18 different right. people yeah. because if they need you, they need to know where you are. So like, that's why we have it there. Oh my God, I'm just totally lecturing.
Also, you know what though? If you're shooting a scene and then your tum-tum's rumbling and they can yeah. catch it on the thing, they're going to be like, why didn't you go to Crafty and
yeah, get some exactly. food? Or like, I love when they like, come in when you're like in the middle of a scene, like waiting for, you know, go again. And just a PA will come up and be like, hey, so there's taco bowls at Crafty. And you're like, yes, gonna get that after we wrap, like after we turn around, I'm gonna get a taco bowl.
Every time somebody mentions like that, I think of like the time I was working on The Assassination of Johnny Versace, that yeah. Ryan Murphy show. And they're like, yes. you're like, guys, there's soba noodles at Crafty.
What?
Soba noodles.
Oh my God.
I want that.
Well, like, Glow, we had, it was actually one of, I think it was our grip's wife, made a lot of desserts for us every day. Mm-hmm. And she made these Rice Krispie treats that I nicknamed Crack Rice Krispies. And yeah. it caught on set.
Okay.
But it was like a thing that the PAs knew, bless our heart. We had amazing PAs on Glow. They knew when the Crack Krispies came.
Oh, wow.
We need to save one for Brittany. And I'd like walk back to yep. my chair and there would be one there.
Oh, wow.
They were so good.
See, that's when I say there's like this whole symbiotic relationship where like everyone kind of, at least when it's running like a well-oiled machine and yeah. everyone like has fun, everyone enjoys the other company and everyone's doing their yeah. own job and that things like that will happen, you
oh,
know?
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't out of like a, like again, like, oh my God, she's too lazy to go get like a Rice Krispies from a table. Like it wasn't even that. It was like, they knew I loved these Rice Krispies and I was in the middle of a shooting a scene and they knew the crew was going to get one. So they yeah. grabbed one for me, you yeah. know? Like it's just... Yeah. I just love people like that where it's like, I'm going to do for you and you're going to do for me and we're going to have a good time and we're friends. You know, it's just right. a nice feeling to have people have your right. back, even if it's something small like that.
Oh, yeah. And also Jodie Comer, you mentioned Jodie Comer. I always say the thing about her is she makes the weirdest acting choices that turn out to be brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll constantly be watching Killing Eve and I'll turn to Tressa and be like, I would never have done that. I would yeah. never have thought to do that.
I actually was introduced to Jodie Comer from My Mad Fat Diary. It was a Channel 4 show a couple years ago. She played the worst person on there.
Really?
Like the worst. She was just a terrible human being and she was brilliant. Like, you felt for her, you yeah. loved her, you rooted for her, even though she was just not a good person. I think it's on Hulu now if people go back and watch okay. it. It's brilliant. My Mad Fat Diary.
Yeah, I'd like to go back and watch a lot of her stuff because I'm assuming there's stuff I just didn't see before oh, yeah. Killing Eve. Was she on Doctor Who or something like that?
She might have been.
I think she might have been. I don't really watch Doctor Who. I know. Sorry, my friends that love Doctor
All
Who.
All the British
and,
actors yeah. on Doctor Who.
I like that thingy. I like the thingy, the
like
telephone
the box.
Booth, the box telephone thingy.
The box is real cool.
Yeah. It's... That box is real cool.
That box looks real nice.
I found myself doing my Ringo voice a lot after I watched Get Back.
Yeah.
I think Ringo came out, I don't know if you watched that or if you're a fan yeah. of the Beatles, but like Ringo came out the best on that, right? Seemed like just the nicest guy.
Oh, yes, yes. Does not get enough credit for the brilliant stuff he did.
The funniest thing, if you guys like the Beatles, you got to watch Get Back. You're inside the whole making Let It Be, mm-hmm. and you're like, this is like, how am I able to see this?
Yeah.
But the funniest thing that happens on Get Back is they're talking about John being late again. They're like, John's late again. And then Ringo's like, well, I'm always on time. I'm like, yeah, okay, Ringo, you're always on time.
Get it you. Actually is really brilliant because, and I know, so I'm a huge Disney fan, and he always reminds me of the vultures in Jungle Book, and that is by design because originally Disney wanted the Beatles to play the vultures.
That makes sense.
And they could not get the Beatles, so... There's one of them that is really like, oh, no, no.
So then they couldn't get the monkeys either? I don't understand this.
But
what is...
those are different people.
Yeah.
That's another band.
What? Well, we had a delightful breakfast at Jumpin' Java, yes. Studio City. It's a place that I've used to go to a lot, actually, years yeah. ago. And then I don't know why I stopped going. I just, there's other places. I think I moved slightly farther away. The food is really good.
The food was great. The waitress was very nice to us, too.
we decided we were going to have like a pancake palooza.
Yeah.
And I had, I'm blanking on the name and I didn't write it down. Was it called the baby mama or the mama something? The
mom, Bama mama, mama mom.
It's so weird. I had something at Hugo's like a month ago and it was the papa something. And I'm not, I'm not doing the exact same thing I did. It's like, what is it?
Get your familial dishes.
Thank you.
Together.
Look, if you go to look at the menu, something called the baby mama. Anyway, it was. They said it's the most decadent pancakes.
It was.
And it had, like, bananas. But it was almost like the bananas where you, like, spray...
they were glazed.
They were glazed bananas with walnuts in it.
Yes.
And I could feel myself getting fatter, and I don't regret it at all.
Nope.
It was delicious. It was a million calories. I cut it with a little bacon for a little... Because it was very sweet.
Yes.
But it was delicious. How were your pancakes?
They're great. I went super decadent with plain buttermilk pancakes.
Old school.
Which is really funny because you said that when we sat down. You're like, oh, they have like amazing decadent pancakes here. Mm-hmm. But I like, even like with alcohol, like I just like want a simple something. But they were very nice and very fluffy. The syrup just like melted into them so great. And then I had a cup of fruit, which I thought was perfect with the pancakes. So I guess it got a little crazy.
Yeah, you did.
But yeah, it's funny because I remember when you said, I was like, yeah, I've been there before. Had never been there. It was a different place I was thinking of.
Oh, you're thinking of Jinkies.
Yeah, thinking of Jinkies down the street. And now I got a new spot.
Yeah.
It was great.
There's two Jinkies on Ventura Boulevard, too.
Yeah.
There's one there and there's one in Sherman Oaks. Yep. They have a lot of omelets at Jinkies.
They do.
They have some things that are just way too healthy for me at Jinkies. A couple things.
Ew, you're too healthy.
Well, they have something that's called like the green and white omelet, and it's literally spinach, broccoli, and maybe cauliflower or something.
Ooh. You had me up until the cauliflower. I like cauliflower.
I may not be cauliflower.
Yeah.
Maybe something else. I don't know names of things today.
Clearly.
Yeah. Baby mama, papa, papa, whatever.
Mama.
Yeah. Life is a flat circle.
Yeah.
That whole thing. Life is a flat circle. Yeah. Well, thank you for going there with me. It is a really nice spot to eat. They have a little outdoor patio.
Yes.
It's right next to Nature Well, which is a smoothie place, smoothie and shake place that I really do enjoy. And you can get some good stuff there.
Yeah.
So.
Or down the street.
Is Lala's right there?
No. What's the pie shop?
What pie shop?
Oh, my God. Is it? Never mind. Let's not give credit to a pie shop that's not
there. Well, it might be. I mean, Fonuts is right there. That's like a vegan donut shop. That's down the street, too.
Yeah, but like, what's the one that's right across from CBS Radford? It's not Republic of Pie, is it?
Republic of Pie is on Magnolia in the Arts District. Not that far away from there.
No. It's fine, guys. If you figure it out, tag us.
Guys, look, if you find this place, we're intentionally being cagey about this. It's a really big pie place.
Ugh.
If you find the name of it, put it on my Instagram and I will give you a prize.
Ooh.
Of something.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
What's the prize? I'll find it.
Of something.
Yeah.
I mentioned it was of something. Well, thank you for going there with me. That was really fun.
Thanks
and
for having me.
I actually hadn't had pancakes in a while.
I was craving them.
Is that your, of the all the things that you could have that are kind of similar, French toast, pancakes, waffles? How do you rank those three?
Waffles at number three, because I'm sorry, it's just a lot of air. Like, let's be real. It's air.
I get your point, yeah.
Yeah. Then, honestly, probably pancakes. I think I'm more of a French toast person, but for some reason the other day when we were trying to find a spot, I was like, I haven't had pancakes in a long time.
Yeah. I like French toast if I can get a nice eggy French toast.
Mm.
A lot of places I have, like when they have the, I'm not interested really in those French toast that have like cornflakes in them, the crunchy French toast.
No,
that's not my jam.
I don't like a brioche French toast.
No,
either. It's
me
too
neither.
Thick of a bread.
Yeah, I like a nice, actually thinner bread where the eggs can really soak into it.
Yeah,
because that's what I like is the bread with the bread and the egginess and the syrup and a little bit of butter, and that's all I really need. I don't need.
Let's be real. We want the French toast that our mom made because the bread was going stale and she had to make something for breakfast.
Yeah,
that's what we want.
You know, in Montreal they just call it toast, not French toast.
Mm.
So. I made that up. That's a bad joke, guys. Since they speak French.
I was about to quote that to everybody, so in Montreal.
Since they speak French in Montreal.
They only call it toast.
I should cut this. I won't.
Keep it.
Before we get out of here, I need to get three quick recommendations from Brittany Young. What is the show or film that you think is a hidden gem that maybe people haven't seen?
It sparked me from when we were talking about Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Mm.
I'm a huge Jason Segel fan.
Yeah.
Love Jason Segel. He did a show on AMC 2020 called Dispatches from Elsewhere. And it has Sally Field, Andre Benjamin, who is Andre 3000 from Outkast.
Yep.
And oh my God.
Richard E. Grant.
Yes. And I cannot remember what her name is. Oh no, she's brilliant. It is basically this show. It's on AMC. It's one season. It is this show that is kind of based on a true story where up in like the Pacific Northwest, there were these flyers that were put up where it was like kind of one of those like if you see something, say something flyers. But they were random where it was like, do you want to learn how dolphins eco-communicate? Call this number. And Jason Segel's character sees all these flyers. He's kind of unhappy with his life. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to call. And he calls the number and gets into this society where basically it's a bunch of people who called. They're now part of a massive scavenger hunt that they have to like go through the city in these groups and find whatever the end game of this scavenger hunt is. And it's just basically Jason Segel, Sally Field, Andre 3000, and Eve Lindley. That's her name.
Yes.
Eve Lindley. Yes. She's amazing. I want to see her in everything. But it's this group of four people who are just really unhappy with their lives. Or like Andre 3000, Andre Benjamin, his character is really socially awkward and it doesn't know how to do social engagements. Like, it's just these people using the scavenger hunt to better themselves. And it was so brilliant.
And one of the, I mean, if you're into like things that are kind of meta or just wild, it is the wildest.
The twist at the end did not, like, I was like, wait, what?
As you're saying it, I don't even remember what that was because there were so many twists in this show.
Oh, it's so good. Dispatches from Elsewhere, it was on AMC, and I actually tweeted at Jason Segel very selfishly to be like, what's going on? Are you guys getting a second season? Subtext, Brittany wants to be in the second season. Yes. Jason Segel, please cast me because I love this show.
That's funny.
But yes, Dispatches from Elsewhere, hidden gem.
And I texted him and I said, well, I'm always on time when I'm acting in a show.
I'm always on time.
What is the show or movie that you watch just for fun?
The show or movie that I watch just for fun, Pause the Pod. About to get PC.
Uh-oh.
Inside joke from Breakfast.
Yes.
It's not a show I watch for fun. It's a show I watch because it makes me so upset and I can't stay away from it, is 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, yes. This has been recommended on the show before, yeah.
Well, I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying, it's just, it's because I'm
Brittany recommends this show so highly.
Seal of approval. 90 Day Fiancé on TLC. I'm in a long distance relationship for 5 years with a man from Ireland. I'm from the United States. Mm-hmm. I originally started watching the show because I thought I could relate to these people, what they're going through when I'm lonely and sad, and they are not relatable.
You can't relate to them.
I can't relate to them because, unfortunately, I actually love my fiancé and we know each other.
Ooh.
And, you know, it's just so infuriating. But yes, the show I watch because it makes me upset and I can't look away.
Look, it's one of those where you get sucked in, you just watch the entire season in one day, and then you feel terrible about yourself also.
And also just feel terrible for these people who are basically being conned.
Yeah. What is the show or movie that inspires you?
The movie that's really coming up, and it's not even that it's because it's specifically this movie. I really love like indie comedies where you can tell it was a passion project for everybody involved. And the one that's really coming up is Rick Fujiyama's Dope. I loved that movie so much. The acting, everything about it was just so well written, so well edited, everything. It was just such a great movie. And when I see movies like that where I'm just like, it looks like everyone wanted to be here.
Yeah.
That's what inspires me.
Yep. And you're right. When you watch that movie, you're like, they all bought into this thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, guys, if you would like to get more Breakfast stuff, such as pics of Brittany Young and I enjoying our Breakfast from Jumpin' Java, go to my website, brentpope.com. You can list all the Breakfast episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances in the official Breakfast store with a bunch of fun stuff. Shirts, mugs, stickers, masks, Machu Picchu promotional posters. Only 13 left. Get it in the store, guys. Signed by Brittany Young.
That will take ages to get to you.
Yeah. With the quote, pause the pod.
Pause the pod.
People of Earth, do yourself a favor by picking up something from the Breakfast store. And if you enjoy the show, please, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to Breakfast. It's very helpful. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Breakfast is being enjoyed all over the United States and in 52 countries across the globe. One of the biggest ones, not in the United States, is Ireland. Ireland and England.
That's
true story.
Cute.
If you go back about 20 episodes, I was talking about Ireland all the time. And trust me, by Breakfast Burrito Brigade, we are just getting started. Special thanks to my studio engineer, Marco Leon, and everyone at the fabulous Tiny Studio LA, thetinystudioLA.com, for making me sound so good. Brittany Young, what is next for you and where can we find you on social media?
What is next for me? Our things are happening, but I can't say it out loud because it's under contract.
Oh, yeah.
But things are happening, guys. Gonna make some waves.
Just
I will
tell
let
us
you know.
The end of the show and
just tell us the end of the... No, things are happening, and I will definitely share when I can.
Awesome.
For those updates, you can find me on Instagram at Brittany Young, 2 Y's in there. And you can find me on Twitter at It's Brittany Young. Was that confusing?
No.
Cool.
And they can rewind it if they need to. Yeah.
Guys, Twitter, it's Brittany Young. Instagram, Brittany Young.
Pause the pod.
Pause the pod.
Brittany Young, thank you so much for coming in.
This was
a blast, and continued success for all your stuff. I'm a big fan of yours. If you need somebody to sing for you at the wedding, do that.
Is Ringo available?
I think I'm doing something else that night.
The band was on time.
But if I am, I'll be on time.
Mine sounded like Yogi Bear. The band was on time.
Hey, we're going to sing at the... Boo-boo! Bring the sandwiches! We got to sing at this wedding. They're giving us 2 picnic baskets.
Hey, boo-boo, how about another picnic basket?
And with that, we put another gorgeous episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See ya.
Bye.